Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Why it matters.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Dacker. It's time now for Why It Matters. And today I want to put the spotlight on gyms and fitness centers. I don't know about you, but you've probably seen them in the news for the wrong reasons. I mean, members finding themselves caught out because of these sudden closures. I take you back to the COVID-19 days or post-COVID-19 when gyms closed down. How many of you lost your personal trainer as a result, or you had to dispute your gym membership? I have quite a few friends who had to go through that. Business costs rising, that's another thing that's been put square in the blame. But, you know, even with the landscape of the fitness business undergoing this quite significant transformation, we've got a guest that has somehow managed to sustain his business. In fact, this guy started a place called Fight Zone back in 2018, and he now has four outlets in Suntec, Ang Mo Kio Hub, Velocity, as well as Tai Sing. So we're going to find out a bit about this journey and surviving the fitness business world. On the line with me is Sasidharan Uninathan, who is the founder and managing director of Fight Zone. Sasidharan, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, Elliot.
Thanks a lot for taking the time to make this conversation. It's quite interesting. Fight Zone, it's a gym, physical fitness center. You guys offer innovative, high-intensity, quick training concept. The name Fight Zone, though, it's kind of like I'm going into battle. How did you come up with that?
That brings me back, but we wanted to, when our facility first started, it was a HIIT training facility infused with Muay Thai.
Okay.
So we wanted to have an area where people looked at, that was the zone they came in, you know, got an awesome workout, got a few punches in and left in 30 minutes. So that is why we picked the name Fight Zone.
All right. Sasi, give me your take on the current state of the fitness industry. I mentioned early on I had friends during COVID who lost their personal trainers, disputed gym memberships. What was that entire phase like for you guys?
That entire phase was very, very, very hard to describe, wasn't it? It was nothing like we ever faced before. I think with all the establishments with really big overhead costs, it's hard to deviate and alter what your gym does or your fitness facility does to adapt to the environment fast enough to literally keep it alive. Yeah. So I think that period, I think during that period was, so we lost members in the hundreds. I do remember when the first circuit breaker was announced, I came back to work receiving 100 emails, literally, I'll terminate now, I'll join back again later, I'll come back again, you know. So members left in hundreds. And at that time, we had three different outlets. So we actually lost almost 100 members each outlet, literally within the first week. So that entire period was a major struggle to go through.
It's interesting, right, this evolution of gym. I mean, you talked about the inability to sort of keep up with innovation. But what is this innovation? Where do we go? How do we even find it? It's so hard, right?
It is. I think with the brands that came out and the brands that we have right now, you see a lot of changes in the styles of gyms that are there. You see a lot more smaller scaled fitness facilities that offer a different kind of workout so that, you know, it gives everyone their fix. People can go in, actually be entertained while they work out, you know?
Yeah.
So that whole scenario where we had those major big facilities has kind of like shifted towards having a lot more small facilities right now.
So people like, are you saying that they like the personal touch, the personal trainer touch, or they just want a small space so that not many people are staring at them?
Actually, a lot of my locations are glass-fronted, so a lot of people look from outside, right? So that question, actually, I think the adaptation for COVID, because you lost so many members, you know, you can't get them all back at the same time, right? You can't get them back immediately. Mm. It's going to take time. Okay. And obviously, the consumer market literally disappeared. When doing other things, people were hoarded at home. People were scared to come back in. So the smaller fitness facilities actually survive a bit better.
Okay.
Because it's lower overhead costs. You know, you can deviate, you can move, you can shift your classes around, you can have less classes, you can have more. So those kind of things actually allow you to adapt with the current scenario. So that is the current landscape, you know. How do you have a fitness facility that puts in enough people that pays your bills?
Right?
So that is the ultimate name game, in a sense that smaller facilities also have to survive, but you got to build a good enough brand so that people want to come to you, because there's so many overseas brands around. So that whole process of people choosing the gym, or I'll join a big fitness facility, I'll have this membership, that's all changed in the set that people actually choose to have two smaller gym memberships or choose to join a gym that's closer to their place or their workplace, you know, for convenience.
Or the still kind of like pass thing, right, where they can jump in on any mass group workout as and when they want. They just need to book a time.
So the pass thing has actually become a very big hit among consumers, because they want to have the ability to use a few gyms, right? Use a few gyms, try out a few workouts, that kind of thing.
But you've got four outlets. You've managed to stay afloat: Suntec, Ang Mo Kio Hub, Velocity, and Tai Seng. Is it easy for you, if I were to ask you to tell us that magic formula? Or how much did luck play a part?
I think we actually had three when COVID came.
Okay.
So we launched the fourth one last year. I think it boils down to a few different factors, right? You really got to keep members engaged so they don't actually, you know, people who don't work out are the ones that leave. People will work out all the time. People will come to your club all the time. They're not going to leave you, right? So we also have a no booking system that allows someone to finish their work and then come to work out.
Okay.
Right? So the class actually starts when you step into the gym, you get ready, and then your class starts. I think one of the main factors that makes it so easy is people don't have to, I need to finish work at 6 because I got to make a class at 7 p.m. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you come in at 7:10, 7:12. And also, at that point, during COVID, we actually launched our franchise license. So we started franchising. So we had a couple of different owners for every club who actually, with their ownership, you know, they were at the club and they wanted to innovate. They wanted to do things better. They wanted to serve his members a bit better. So that kind of scenario actually pulled us through and allowed us to actually grow during this period.
Very interesting. I especially resonate with the point that I don't need to rush after work, right? And these locations, they're in different parts of Singapore. Easy access, central, not quite central, some very central.
Yeah.
How much you charge your customers? Is there a correlation between that and rental prices?
So we try to keep our prices fixed, and we try to actually be affordable so that people can get their workouts. So we only sell unlimited memberships. We sell a range of whether you want a longer commitment, you want a shorter commitment, or you want all locations or just one location. So our prices range between 148 to 188, but you can use them as much as you want. So if you come in twice a day, we won't stop you.
And that kind of keeps them coming back for more, because while people like choice, people, even deeper than that, they want the flexibility. They want to feel like they're in control.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So, I mean, fitness is not something where you sell, somebody comes in. It's not like a retail store where people walk in. People say, I want to buy that, and I want to buy this, you know. When they come in, you still got to convince them to get your fitness started.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's the effort that they are going to put in, right?
The miracle is starting, right?
Yeah. So the thing is, they will come there, they will talk to you, they will do the try, they will still procrastinate. So you got to actually convince, you got to tell, you got to show them that it's okay, they can get started, they can do this. So I think us being, you know, one of the hardest things we do is convincing people that it's not too hard for them.
Okay.
Right? So because when they feel it's too hard, they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So that's the whole process of actually putting them through the trial, letting them feel that, hey, actually, I can do this, right? It doesn't look too xiong, you know? I can actually do this.
But that's tricky, because there are other gyms that have numbers in the name of the gym, where you go there and you really get pushed to the max. And I've heard stories of people vomiting, yet they keep going back for more. So maybe they love punishment that way. How do you ensure that I'm pushing you? I know you guys have pivoted to a bit more personal training as well. I'm pushing you, but I'm not over-pushing you, but I also want to keep you around. Am I shortchanging you, or are you shortchanging yourself? Okay,
we have this thing that all our members are heart rate monitored.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
So So the heart is a muscle. So the fitter you are, the stronger your heart is.
Okay.
So when you come in, we obviously have a heat training system, which we push you to your maximum.
Sure.
Right? And we push you to a maximum for two. Each station is about 3 minutes. Mm. And for 2 minutes, we keep your heart rate between 70 to 80% of your maximum. So if you're really not fit, you come in, your heart rate is going to shoot up. It's going to be 80, 90%. And the trainer is going to slow you down.
Yes.
Because you still have to complete the rest of the stations, right?
Yes, yes.
So for 2 minutes, we keep you between 70 to 80%. And then for 30 seconds, we push you to the 85, 90% mark. And then for 30 seconds, we give you an active rest to bring the heart rate down again before you move on to the next station. So I think we had a few cases. I think one of the things we learned is once people stop working out for a while, people get lazy, people get busy, people, life changes for people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they stop working out for a while, and then they think they're coming back to fight zone, and then they're like, oh, you know, I got to go there, and then struggle through. So the key thing measure for us is when we see someone not coming in or getting busy, we suspend their membership, get them back in, start them a bit slower so that they can get to the routine easier. I think it's the fear of coming in and actually pushing it through. Obviously, you got the really fit ones that really want to push themselves.
Yeah.
Right? But then again, 99% of the population is not that.
Right.
Yeah, that's the whole scenario.
Yeah, this is smart as well because it's using technology to get a gauge of where you are at in terms of your fitness. And the truth of the matter is everyone is at a different point. Sasi, I'm curious to get your opinion, your thoughts on this. I mean, remember a time where fitness was home videos and Richard Simmons, and then we had the massive franchise gyms, and today we're talking about something that's more technology related, that's more bespoke, maybe personal. Where do you see the future of gyms then?
I think you have a lot more different things for people to try, right? I think whatever gym you have or whatever gym you go to, obviously the main key thing is you got to keep consistent.
Yeah.
So the gyms, like with these passes that are around, right? You can buy a pass for every gym. You eventually, the person actually has to like that gym.
Yes.
And they have to have a personal touch.
Yes.
You know, that simple, what we also emphasize on is knowing your members' need, greeting them by name, giving them a high five after that 30 minutes. It all matters.
Yep.
You know, it all matters because that personal touch is going to get you that member that says, you know what, I don't want to buy so many passes anymore. I just want to go to your gym. Because at the end of the day, they will choose the gym that is convenient for them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they will choose that gym that they can walk to before work or after work, you know, and or train before work, before they go to work, you know.
Yeah.
It's either closer to where they live or where they work, right? So location actually also plays part.
Personal touch,
yeah.
So that's so true. Well, thank you so much for sharing everything. We've been speaking with Sasidharan Unnithan, who is the founder and managing director of Fight Zone. I appreciate your time, Sasi. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.